The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA, and today is February 19th, 2016. It's a Friday, and we have a live show for you today. Looking forward to bringing this show to you. Want to also thank all of you that have listening, have been reaching out to Tando Radio Show and engaging in some of the things that we are doing. Greatly appreciate, and we're only going to continue to grow. But before we talk about Tando Radio Show and some of the things that we're going to be doing, we need to talk about Black Talk Radio Network, everyone. Everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Why? Because it's so important that what you have learned while listening to the programs brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, that it's here so that you can be shared and multiplied in many people in many facets, because it's so important that we get the truth of the matter instead of constantly getting the propaganda and, more importantly, the entertainment side of the whole world, which is so destructive to us all. So everyone, completely commit to ensuring that Black Talk Radio Network is here and is thriving and is going to do well. How can you do that? You can do that by making monetary donations. Yes, go into your purse, go into your wallet, and make a donation to Black Talk Radio Network, because Scotty, in developing Black Talk Radio Network, had to go into his wallet and to actually put something up to start the Black Talk Radio Network in order to bring the information and some of the things that you benefit from directly. And it's so important that we stop just eating the fruit and start feeding the roots of the tree that bears good fruit to us, so that we can have a sustainability that can be passed on for generations to come. So tell your friends, tell your family members about Black Talk Radio Network. If you can, donate some of your professional services to Black Talk Radio Network. Donate some of your time. Donate some of the events that you are putting on, or put on events that are strictly geared for Black Talk Radio Network. How do you do that? Contact Black Talk Radio Network and propose what it is that you want to do and work it all out. It's so, so important that you do that. And find sponsors for Black Talk Radio Network, which is extremely, extremely important, because we have lost enough in our lives and we will continue to lose what it is that we do not make a true, firm commitment to maintaining. So let's not let Black Talk Radio Network go silent, have dead air, or go dark. And this is something that you can prevent, but more than that, you can perpetuate it and you can energize it to where it can go to the stars and beyond. So please, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. If you haven't done something, do it. If you've been thinking about it, been putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Do what you can. Don't wait until you can. Just do what you can. So, so important. Next, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook, T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook, and check us out there and look at some of the stories and articles that we have there. And we have also the show posting there. If you have a comment or a question for Tando Radio Show, you can send it there. And while you stop by there, please give us a like. Check out some of the articles that we have there. Comment on them, because that helps us to know what it is that you're thinking and what it is that we can do to be more beneficial to you. My man Jambone, thank you so much, brother, because I always look forward to seeing your comments, which is always there. My man Jambone, backbreaker, much, much love. Love and respect. Also to my man Willie Jones, always there, checks out. I don't know if he is able to check out everything, but I always see my man Willie Jones being there. Much love, much respect to you too. Also, brother, appreciate you so much. Appreciate all of you and all of your contributions. And I would just say, help Candle Radio Show to actually grow. Bring in, you know, there's something that you would like us to cover, something, a guest that you would like us to have on, or some subject, or you would like to come on as a guest, if you know a good guest that we should have on, definitely reach out to us, make it happen, and I would definitely love to share some of the things what's going on, because the world is much bigger than what the block that we grew up on. So let's explore it all, and so that we can move into the overall universal energy that is so powerful. So today we posted, didn't post much today because I didn't want to post much today because of the importance of the two postings that we have there. First posting that we have there, this one comes from the KansasCity.com news. And I'm going to read the commentary. This is happening to everyone. Well, let me tell you what it is first. Teamsters retirees fight massive pension cuts at Kansas City Town Hall, warning others at risk. And this is my commentary that I wrote. This is going to happen to everyone's pension. Excuse me. This is happening to everyone's pension. And if necessary steps aren't taken, your pension will be lost. It's only the start. The loss of your pension is only the start. The window for warning people is closing while still being able to recover, save, or reallocate funds with enough time is shutting, which will lock you into the mayhem, the financial mayhem that will come. Why do you think it is such a long process to move your so-called funds? Because the system doesn't see them as being as your funds, but as their funds. And I said, contact me if you want some help with that and how to go about that. What are some of your options? So, so important that you protect what it is. This story is very, very important. We're going to touch on it a little later on, and no one will be immune from this. But it's not only the pensions. It will also go into your banking accounts, your savings. It will go also into all forms of your sustainable economic foundations will be rattled, shattered, and destroyed in the future. And like I always say, there won't be many jobs, but there will be plenty of work to do. And you have to position yourself so that you will be able to make it through the economic times that are coming. And it's going to be multiple threats. It's going to be a threat of war that is going to be very real, that they're going to wage against you. It's going to be a threat of economic collapse that they're going to wage against you, the common person. And it's going to be the lack of supplies that they are going to cut off from you. And if you're not ready for it, you will succumb to it. And the likelihood of you succumbing to it is going to be greatly, greatly enhanced. There will be many people that will ultimately surrender to the fear that will come as the result of these collapse and the war and the supply shortage that will be on hand. It's already started and there's no turning back now, because this is the overall agenda of those that many of us collectively have placed blind faith in. The so-called authority figures, when they have no authority and they should have no overall relevance in any of our individual or collective lives. They are no different than you, other than they are in a position and have decided to come together with their own collective prudence to destroy and to enslave you. And they do it very efficiently, but they are extremely vulnerable to you refusing to participate in breaking their system, which has to be done. So we're going to talk about that and check out that article. Very, very important. And today's show, we're not going to go over many things that's going on in news. There's a lot that's still going on. But today we're going to be talking about the assassination of Malcolm X. Sunday will be the 51st anniversary, or the 51st year since his murder. And we're going to talk about Why does it still matter? And why is it still important? For many, many reasons. And we're going to get into that. And at any time in today's show, if you would like to, Sunday will actually be the anniversary, the 51st anniversary. But today is Friday, a couple of days before. And I just wanted to bring a show and show my appreciation to Sister Shabazz, Brother Shabazz, and the Shabazz family, and what their sacrifices have been for, and what they had to endure in order that we can have what we have today. And I want to apologize to Brother and Sister Shabazz for squandering the possibilities of where we could have been by now, because we've all have taken advantage of the sacrifices that this brother and sister and this family and so many other people like them have given for us. And very few of us, we just want to reap the benefits of someone else's sacrifice. Very few of us see that and are energized and feel an obligation to return the investment that was brought forth in blood, brought forth in capital, brought forth in wealth, and brought forth, and more importantly, in sacrifice. And I just think that it's appropriate that on this day and around these times that we understand that we have much work to do, and we cannot allow the examples that have been laid out in front of us of our true possibilities for us to ignore them, for us to only think from a selfish standpoint as to what's in it for me. Yes, get me in the school and to do what? Just serve you? Get me this job and to do what? Just for it to serve you? Get me this position for what? For it just to serve you? And we have fell into that trap that has been laid for us because it was the most convenient and easiest way for all of us to flow, because it offered the path of least resistance. But at some time, at some place, we're going to have to bear roots that go deep, and we become unmovable in our overall commitment to one another and to our future by making the same sacrifices that have been made in the past, so that the future could be better than today. I want to talk about this incident and why it's so important, and talk about this because we need to know the truth stands on its own. But many of us will never stand with the truth, because the lie is easier, especially in today's world. A lie is much easier to hide behind for your own personal and individual and selfish motives. And this is what has to be broken. This is the spirit that has to be broken among us. So I'm going to go to a couple of videos about Malcolm's assassination. Like it or not, I don't care. The truth is the truth. And I'm going to give you my opinion about it. And it's just an opinion about in some things, but there are some things that I do know because I grew up in New Jersey, not too far from where the center of the conspiracy agenda to kill Malcolm's physical body and to silence his potential was first seeded. And we'll share that with you. It's so important that we look at this for what it truly is. It was the ostracizing of a true warrior because he stood with the truth when many of us hide behind the lies. So don't want to talk about this too much more until we after. But definitely, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61. I will see you in queue and bring you up. Getting ready to go to a couple of videos about the assassination of Malcolm X. Here we go.
In Malcolm X's final days, it was rumored that he had a change of mind about his thoughts on who was solely behind a plot to murder him. Initially, his adversaries appeared to only be Elijah Muhammad and his Nation of Islam. It was also purported that he said his demise would come exclusively from a hidden hand in Washington, D.C. Under a cloud of distress and time working against him, it was humanly impossible for Malcolm to clearly differentiate that the two aforementioned entities and possibly others would merge as one to assassinate him. Proof of which was Malcolm's request and belief that the FBI itself would come to a favorable decision on his behalf in the investigation of the bombing of his home. This naive belief was just as far off as believing the Nation of Islam lost interest in murdering him. The old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire, leaves very little doubt that all parties accused indeed were at the same location, striking matches. The visual evidence in this film illustrates that Malcolm's political assassination was likely to have resulted from an unspecified conspiracy. The person who fired the first two deadly shots at Malcolm from a sawed-off shotgun was described as a powerfully built, dark-complexioned black man with a beard, wearing a dark overcoat with a folded newspaper in the left pocket of his coat. After the person with the 12-gauge sawed-off shotgun fired the first two deadly shots at Malcolm, two other men stood up and fired 9mm and 45 caliber handguns into Malcolm's body. The blast from the shotgun had shredded Malcolm's aorta, heart, and punctured both lungs. Wounds from the handguns were projected into various areas of Malcolm's entire body. The man with the red arrow pointing at him is the man who fired the 45 caliber handgun at Malcolm. A blue arrow points to one of Malcolm's followers grasping onto the shooter to prevent his escape. Unable to escape due to a gunshot to his leg, the shooter, who is a follower of Elijah Muhammad, is placed under arrest. He was identified as Talmadge Hayer. Elijah Muhammad and all Nation of Islam officials denied knowing Hayer and openly lied about his membership in their organization. The captured shooter Hayer was indeed a member of the Nation of Islam under direct command of Lieutenant Linwood X and Minister James 3X of New Jersey's Mosque No. 25. On the day of the shooting, Minister Louis X of the Boston Mosque had suddenly visited the New Jersey Mosque. Minister Louis X was connected to the three main mosques who planned Malcolm's demise. The captured shooter Hayer, for many years,
denied being a follower of Elijah Muhammad. Then in 1977, he finally admitted that he was a Muslim all along, and he even named his accomplices in the murder. At the time of the murder, the General American newspaper knew that the shooters of Malcolm were all Muslims who rehearsed the killing. Like all sloppily planned murders, through their own newspaper, Muhammad speaks, the Muslims leave a trail pointing directly at their involvement in Malcolm's murder by foolishly placing ads in their newspaper showing that they held many events at the crime scene, the Autobahn Ballroom. The events were all sponsored by Mosque No. 7. On the day of the assassination, the first noticeable odd thing was the lack of police presence outside the ballroom. Yet the police materialized immediately after the shooting. Inside the ballroom, uniformed police were hidden in various rooms adjacent to the main ballroom. Among many people present was Malcolm's wife, Betty Shabazz, and her four small children. After Malcolm was introduced, the killers rose from their seats near the front of the stage and brandished weapons and began pointing and firing at Malcolm. The shooters then ran outside the ballroom to escape. Under the ballroom's marquee, a violent commotion was underway that involved the police, Malcolm's followers, and at least two of the assassins, one of which was Talmadge Hayer, who had been wounded in the leg, and the shotgun with the folded newspaper in his coat pocket, all engaged in a tug of war to save one man's life. One of Malcolm's followers holds on to a folded wooden chair to strike Hayer if he escapes. This man is unaware that the man with the newspaper in his pocket is the actual shotgun assassin. For many years, the live footage captured outside the ballroom was never critically examined until recently. To the average viewer, it was assumed that the man with the newspaper in his pocket was one of Malcolm's men trying to attack the captured man being held between the many police officers. Just like Lee Harvey Oswald in the JFK assassination, patsies were in place to take the blame. Nation of Islam members Thomas 15X Johnson and Norman 3X Butler offered unbelievable alibis about their whereabouts the day of Malcolm's murder. Butler seemed to be the only man in the Nation of Islam who wore his stingy brim hat with it tilted back on his forehead. And though the person's back is turned from the camera in this crime scene footage, the person with the yellow arrow pointing at them resembles Norman 3X Butler. Observe the man with the white arrow pointing at him attacking one of Malcolm's followers under the blue arrow. The man under the white arrow has an opportunity to attack the man above the red arrow, but doesn't. A police officer at the green arrow attacks Malcolm's follower. One of Malcolm's followers at the yellow arrow holds a chair ready to strike. Malcolm's follower below the blue arrow that is subdued by police has suddenly realized that the man with the newspaper in his pocket is not a friendly ally and is allowed to escape after retrieving something off of his cohort. He smiles and tucks something inside his coat and calmly walks away. A police officer named Arnold Arnoff at the Orange Arrow appears not to subdue the shotgunner, but only shoves him away. Malcolm's follower under the blue arrow suspects a conspiracy is underway. For the power structure, the choice was simple. Let an emerging selfless leader force its hand to address the legitimate concerns of millions of African Americans, or let a harmless organization who imagined itself to be an actual nation continue to be non-threatening and self-destructive.
What condition was he in on arrival?
He was dead on arrival, and they took him into the third floor emergency room, and several doctors tried to revive him for about 15 minutes, and there was no response, and then he was pronounced dead at 3:30.
Has the body been identified?
When it was brought in, we didn't get a positive identification. We admitted the patient as John Doe.
Never being held accountable for his crime against Malcolm and the global black community, decades later, the man who took Malcolm's life opened up a gymnasium and became a wealthy businessman. Who said you can't get away with murder?
Tonight, a new documentary is raising questions about the assassination of Malcolm X.
The new documentary is called Brother Minister, the assassination of Elhaj Malik Shabazz Malcolm X. And in it is contained passages from a speech by Louis Farrakhan. And here is one excerpt.
What did you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm? Did you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he out? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours?
That was 1993.
Really? A few months ago.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, I believe.
I see.
Tonight, the Nation of Islam is reacting with anger to allegations that have put its leader under fire. Those sensational charges are in a story we told you about exclusively on News 4 New York last night. The widow of Malcolm X is accusing Louis Farrakhan of involvement in Malcolm's assassination.
I'm Kurt Loder with MTV News. The controversy surrounding Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan grew even more heated this weekend. When Betty Shabazz, the widow of the slain Nation of Islam defector Malcolm X, implicated Farrakhan in her husband's assassination. It happened on an NBC Sunday morning show called News Forum when reporter Gabe Pressman showed Shabazz this video clip from an as-yet-unreleased documentary of Farrakhan addressing a closed-door meeting of his followers in 1993.
Was Malcolm your traitor or was he out?
Do I think that Louis Farrakhan had? Of course. Yes. I mean, it was... a matter of, it was a badge of honor. I mean, nobody kept it a secret. It was a badge of honor. Everybody talked about it.
There was no love lost between Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, the current leader of the Nation of Islam, but now the widow of Malcolm X has made a stunning allegation that Farrakhan was involved in some way in her husband's assassination.
I would like to know, in that film strip that I just saw, I didn't see the...
documentary.
But I'd like to know, what is it that they claim Malcolm did?
Who killed Malcolm X?
Three black Muslims, members of the Nation of Islam, were convicted.
But the current leader of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, now acknowledges that words he spoke may have triggered the assassination.
As I may have been complicit in words that I spoke, I acknowledge that and regret that any word that I have said caused the loss of life of a human being.
Malcolm X was murdered 35 years ago in 1965. Today, the black revolutionary, once feared and misunderstood, enjoys the popularity and respect reserved for leaders like Martin Luther King Jr. The autobiography of Malcolm X was named by Time magazine as one of the 10 most important nonfiction books of the last century. And Denzel Washington was nominated for an Academy Award for his portrayal of Malcolm in Spike Lee's film. Who killed Malcolm X? Three black Muslims, members of the Nation of Islam, were convicted. Two of them served 20 years. The third is still not free. But the current leader of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, has long been suspected as the instigator, the behind-the-scenes force who triggered the killing. Malcolm's late widow believed that, as do his children to this day. But now, finally, Athalie Shabazz, the eldest daughter of Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, agreed to talk about the assassination for the first time in front of a reporter. For Shabazz, not without some misgivings.
I did not know if I wanted to sit across from him. I didn't know if my heart could handle it.
Didn't know if she could sit with a man she still holds responsible for her father's death. Confronting Minister Farrakhan would not be easy. And for strength, she told us, she summoned the memory of her parents.
Before I came here, I prayed and included my parents. They had to walk with me to the airport. They had to get me out of that hotel and into the property here.
You see, Athalie Shabazz was there in the Audubon Ballroom in 1965 in New York to watch her father make a speech. She was there with her two younger sisters and her pregnant mother. And Athalie, only 6 years old, watched as gunmen killed her father. Here's how her late mother, Betty Shabazz, described the murder.
I heard shots, and I saw people crawling on the floor. And so I got down too. Then when I was looking out, and I saw someone look in amazement to the front, I knew they had shot my husband. And my children were crying, you know, what's going on? What's going on? Are they going to shoot us? I'm a child with a forever memory of the most significant man in my life standing at a podium and falling backwards. That's forever.
Ms. Shabazz, for several months, I carried the picture of your father with all of these bullet holes in his chest. And I looked at the man that taught me, the man that nurtured me, the man that was the example of a man to me. And I wept.
His pain came from their shared history. As is well known, Malcolm was a dope peddler and street hustler. But during his 7 years in prison, he was introduced to the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, considered a holy man by his followers in the Nation of Islam. And eventually, Malcolm became the spokesman for the nation, at the time preaching that the white man was evil and calling for the separation of the races. And along the way, Louis Farrakhan, a former nightclub singer, became Malcolm's student, his acolyte. And Malcolm taught Farrakhan how to live as a black Muslim. Example, Nation of Islam members don't eat pork, don't smoke, don't drink alcohol, and do not have sex outside marriage.
It is worthy, if you will, of exposure.
That is correct.
Adultery.
That is correct. Fornication was worthy of exposure.
But in 1963, Malcolm X learned that Elijah Muhammad himself had repeatedly committed adultery with some of his teenage secretaries and had children with them. Malcolm agonized over his discovery, and in June of 1964, he told me about it.
And he called some of these women who were living in Los Angeles at the time and let me listen to the conversation. And it became apparent that he was telling the truth. He told you about that, yes?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Malcolm was aware of other tensions growing within the Nation of Islam, for his popularity had begun to surpass that of Elijah Muhammad.
There was a dynamic inside of the nation that troubled Brother Malcolm at the highest echelon of leadership.
Well, the fact of
there was envy. Okay. There was envy.
Envy of Malcolm.
Of Malcolm.
By there you? Was,
no, never by me.
Never by you?
Never by me. Never. I truly loved this man.
Who envied him?
There are those in the circle who feared the kind of publicity that he was getting, the kind of attention that he was getting. He was the most vocal. He was the most loved. He was the most honored and respected.
And he outshone the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
In certain areas, yes.
In 1964, Malcolm X broke with the Nation of Islam to form his own organization based on orthodox Muslim principles, which include a respect for all races and religions. And how did Louis Farrakhan react? He began writing incendiary editorials in the Nation of Islam's newspaper. Let me read you what you wrote in December of 1964. The die is set and Malcolm shall not escape, especially after such evil, foolish talk about his benefactor, Elijah Muhammad. In trying to rob him of the divine glory which Allah has bestowed upon him, such a man as Malcolm is worthy of death. This was only 2 months before he was shot down. That is why people believe that you were responsible for the death of Malcolm X.
No, not at all. My name was not among those at that time who were considered the players.
Nonetheless, following those editorials, Malcolm and his family received numerous death threats from whom no one knows for sure.
Are you not, perhaps, afraid of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yeah. I probably am a dead man already.
But Farrakhan says that Elijah Muhammad had issued a warning to his followers.
Leave Minister Malcolm alone. Those were orders. Those were instructions to us. Leave this man alone.
But in February of 1965, while the family was asleep, Malcolm's home in New York was firebombed. And just 1 week later, 39-year-old Malcolm X was gunned down by members of the Nation of Islam. But there are those who still believe the government had a hand in Malcolm's death. Fact is, for years, the FBI and the New York City Police had Malcolm X under surveillance. Just 7 years ago, he was still charging that Malcolm had deserved punishment.
And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours?
But now Louis Farrakhan, recuperating from prostate cancer and facing his own mortality, has a different appreciation of Malcolm X, and he wanted Attila Shabazz to know it. He did most of the talking during our four-hour meeting. Finally, Shabazz could no longer hold back 35 years of anguish.
Indeed, the FBI probably had something to do with it. But we have to say that adult men between the ages of 20 and 40, black faces, who chose to put a trigger in their hands and unload until it was empty, have to be culpable. You can't keep pointing the finger because this was, my father was not killed from a grassy knoll. And I have sisters who are spun out into this environment as tumbleweeds, unhealed. We knew to stay silent because as a child, I thought it could happen to me. That if I spoke up or said something, they'd take my mother. They'd take one of us. I got to hear a report of the traitor deserved it, so it never could go away. Those reports didn't come from the government. Those reports did not come from the police. It came from the tan and brown and black faces that once claimed themselves as family members.
Okay, everyone, that was... There are many... Many, many accounts of Malcolm's assassination and who was all involved in it. And you would ask, why 51 years? Why is this so relevant? It's so relevant because this bright shining star and warrior that Malcolm still is today that could never be minimized by a slick tongue and an articulate one could never reach the heights that this brother had reached because of the sincere intentions of who he is and who he was in the physical form, but as he continues it today. Brother Malcolm did more for so many of us than we could account for or acknowledge. But to Brother Malcolm, that was okay. You know, Farrakhan said in 1993, did you build Malcolm? Did you clean Malcolm up? Well, the fact of the matter is that he built, he established. He established the goodwill, the potential that that organization had when he was there, when he didn't know what they were really about. And the full potential of that has never been met because it's never been sincerely engaged in. It's difficult to sell your soul and to sell your ability at another man's treasure. What do I mean by that? I want you to take notice to something. Brother Malcolm, Martin, they were both in organizations that they probably didn't know were under governmental affiliation. If you just look at the historical evidence when the nation was involved with the Ku Klux Klan, and one of the things that you know for anybody that's ever been in any form of government, you know one thing about them is that they love acronyms for everything. And all of these organizations that run around so-called are about black organization and black empowerment and black movement is nothing more than a organization, a 501c charitable organization that has been instituted by the government itself. One of the things with the art of war we talked about yesterday is that you defeat your enemy without firing a shot. Through manipulation, covert opportunity. And I would definitely suggest all of you never read the book, The Judas Factor, The Plot to Kill Malcolm X. You should. By Carl Evans. I posted inside of Tando. The videos that we just played, I put them inside of Tando. And I wanted to want you to notice something. Look at the organizations that have been long historical organizations. They all have some of the same acronyms like the FBI. They all go by acronyms because they don't even realize that they have been instituted and put up by governmental entities to serve the government interest. Just like Malcolm, people he knew were so-called friends with, took care of, had the best intentions for, physically killed him. But they can never kill, which they didn't create. But they only want to shut you up because you're going to threaten their ability for profit. Let me tell you, real warriors in this war, at this time, never receive a pension plan. And I would ask you, how many so-called black leaders do you see walking around with great pension plans right now? And don't just look at their monetary influence. Look at their overall media influence. Because the media only allows the propaganda that they want, that's been passed down to them by the handlers, to get out. You look at the CNN, they tell you right away that they are a part of the intelligence agency because they have CIA operatives on that show, on that format all the time. And they blatantly tell you, but we don't connect the dots. And I would ask you, there's other dots that we need to connect. Some of the other dots that we need to connect is that when Malcolm and Martin, when Martin was killed, he was so-called killed, he was set up by friends among him within his camp. And if you know anything about military operations. You can see it. You can see when Dr. King was at the Lorraine Motel, when he gets out of the vehicle, he's in the crowd with a bunch of other black people, and what do they always say? They all look alike. For every sniper, there has to be a spotter. Just before Dr. King goes up the stairs, there's a friend of his that puts his hand on his shoulder and nervously looks over his shoulder. Because was identifying the target. So in my opinion, from my history of military operation, why is that? Because these brothers were in organizations that were infiltrated. Why were they infiltrated? Because real people that are sincere, that is a threat to the system, they get rid of. And I ask you, are those figureheads still around today? Because they've never been a threat to the overall establishment at all. Martin told you that he was going to be killed. And if you look at his last speech, he knew who was culpable in killing him. There was no love that was lost. It was a kiss of Judas, just as it was with Malcolm. See, one of the things that I believe happened was that they realized the potential of a lot of different people, and they said we could kill two birds with one stone. From that film, that the Malcolm X Jabuta film, which goes along with the Jabuta film for Kennedy, it shows the interactive between the authorities and the assassins. And there is a chronological event that took place leading up to the murder of Malcolm. And one of the things about when you become arrogant, when you know that you're untouchable and you fall into the criminal side, your arrogance, you speak about what it is that you've engaged in and not care, because you have the full-fledged backing of the U.S. government. This is why all of these organizations have done nothing for the progression of our people. It's a facade. Just like voting is a facade. They want you to think that you are participating in the political process of something, and you're not. You go into a booth, cast your vote, but you don't know who's counting that vote. So your vote doesn't even matter. Nor does your vote ever matter. What has it changed? Outside of what Malcolm was doing, establishing mosques throughout the world, becoming relevant, actually having people do things that was projecting a upward prosperous movement, who has done that since? None. They carried a banner of those that paid them. And if you look at the truth of the matter, the evidence of the matter, you can see that these organizations were put on by the government to control the people. And we fall for it all the time. And these individuals, Malcolm, Martin, told you, and it was in Martin's camp, it was total, it was completely, they had totally severed the whole camp. They were divided, telling Martin not to speak about this, telling Martin not to be involved in this. Why? Because that wasn't the agenda that the government wanted. Malcolm was not to speak about this, was not to speak about that. But see, the truth can never stand on the shoulders. Excuse me, a lie can never stand on the shoulders of those that are committed to upholding the truth. They don't care what you can do to them. They care more about their moral convictions than your mild threats. And what did they do? They cut this brother down in front of his family and sent a message to all others, if you ever try to get out of line, this is what happened. This is what will happen to you. It was nothing more than an act of terror. It was a terrorist act for political gain. Who gained? Means, motive, and opportunity. Who gained from Malcolm and Martin's murder? Most of us would say it was just the government. No, it was far more than that. The ones that really gained are the celebrity figureheads that you see daily. And you can, and you think are worthy individuals for you to align with, support, and have spoken and be a spokesman for your needs. And I would say, of all the needs that we have because of the terrorist dysfunction that we have to live with under the domestic violence we've known since we've been alive, what have they really done? Nothing but supported the overall agenda that's been at hand. These are my opinions because, as I told you, I grew up in New Jersey, not far from Newark, New Jersey. And as Betty Shabazz said, everybody in Jersey knew who the shotgun killer was. Seen him as a young boy. I mean, I remember the venomous feelings that I had. Because the rest of, and Newark just became such a dark place for me because of that. As a young man, my brother took me to the Audubon, took me to Malcolm's, the restaurant on Lenox that Malcolm would frequent. I passed the mosque that he built, number 7. And the influence that Malcolm had throughout all of Harlem. But with the thing that was so disturbing to me, is that Harlem let some Horowitz kill him. Why? Because they were afraid. And so many of us are afraid to go against the system because we value our physical lives, because that's where the emphasis of our lust is placed. And we don't value our eternal spirit life. And I would say to all of us, we support these individuals and these entities because of what we think it could do for us, and we ignore the spiritual connection that we should have to what's true and sincere. When it comes to Malcolm, we want to treat him like, we wanted him to treat us like Jesus while we kissed him like Judas. Because Betty, after Malcolm's assassination and murder, and the conspiracy to kill Malcolm from black faces and black organizations and black people that wanted him dead, that spoke out in public about it, and the U.S. government sat by and says, yes, good job. Now you'll never have to worry about anything, because we got you completely. If you get out of line, we'll bring all of a sudden an investigation in. Oh, all the evidence is there that you were culpable in this murder. What are you going to do about it? So you'll stay in line. And when this happened, when this murder happened, all over the country, when Dr. Betty was still alive, and these sisters are still alive to this day, what support have we given them? Dr. Betty Shabazz was going month to month, about to lose her house, not able to provide for her family. And what did the black nation do that so-called love Brother Malcolm? Nothing. At all. Why? Because Malcolm wasn't here to do for us anymore, so we don't need to do for them. This system has taught us never to be sincere and stand for what's true. This is what we have to look at ourselves in the mirror on. Yes, many of you, this may not apply to, but does it really? It's only a question that you can ask. What truth do you stand for? And what lie do we bow down to? And this is what this brother means to me. He was a shining example of what a warrior commits to. See, the people around him that he grew up with, that I'm talking about, grew up from the public figure that he grew up with, the organization that he grew up with, had no real warriors there. They were nothing but two-bit soldiers ready to take an order. And I'm sorry to say, it's all that they could ever be. Because they were willing to compromise their morality for another man's agenda. And that's exactly what they did. And they've become fruitless ever since. You look at some of the people that was around Martin, the only thing that got rich was them. The only thing that did well was them. The only thing that they could do was go before the mic and read the prompter, read the speech. And believe me, it was censored, the speech that they had. It better had never moved outside of that confines. You can even see the overall documents showing where certain individuals so-called close to Malcolm and so-called close to Dr. King were informants. And their families have been informants ever since. This isn't me speculating. This was released in court documents and testimony. We really need to look at what we're really up against and redefine who we are, as was talked about yesterday in the Art of War, so that we can know who we are, so we can't be easily manipulated by outsiders who have the intention of being our enemy. And it's deep. One of the ways that you can always tell the government's influence is if something comes up very quickly and is fully funded and all of a sudden you see it all over the news. It's very easy because it's getting the airtime that they want. It's getting the promotions, the promotional events and the exposure that it wants. That's why when all of a sudden they come up with some new slogan of this or that or this and that, you can tell that this is something that has been devised and put together in the think tanks of the manipulative controls of the government. And they find the people that would sell themselves out to their agenda. And they get some of the brightest. But they're the most foolish people on the planet. Because you can't buy moral eternity. You can only sell it. And they sold it for a temporal time. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, *61. It's not that we all have flaws, but we all have to really need to recognize that those flaws cannot become our habitual direction. Or else the only thing that's truly lost is you. Because there is no meaningful growth, prosperity that man can give you from his created economy. He only gives you debt. And all of these individuals that were culpable in this, they arrogantly walked around New Jersey. They arrogantly walk all over the place and have public appearances. But the truth of the matter is their lies will not escape them. And it's not incumbent upon me or anybody else to bring judgment or revenge or retribution to them. Just let them go and they will suffocate and smother themselves. There will be none that escapes. Listen to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Then we go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after these quick commercials.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. That's 549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and just want to thank you all for listening today. We're talking about the 51st anniversary, or the 51st year since Brother Malcolm was murdered for political and for influence and for the maintaining of the enslavement paradigm that had been in place in much treasure and capital and much energy and much design, ingenuity has been in place to maintain that overall enslavement program. Because, you know, Brother Malcolm and so many others, they were different. They were different because they realized that God's ecosystem was more important than man's economy. This brother didn't die with anything because he gave everything. And it's cool that he did, because it really showed the true true relevance and the true worth of him as an individual. Once we decide to do what's absolutely right, yes, we all are subject to our errors, but an error is something that you can rebound from if it doesn't become your habit. And those that manipulate and are manipulative have a habit and an insatiable appetite that nothing is ever enough, and they're always going to continue to take more. And they will teach you to live that way yourself if you follow the spirit of their creations. This is one of the things that has hindered us the most in getting back to the way that the great creator God Almighty has intended us to be. And it's the spell that we have to break among ourselves first. And then when you break that spell, let me tell you, you are going to gain no friends. You're going to be ostracized, and you are going to create more enemies than you ever had friends. You're going to be looked up, you're going to be looked at as the troublemaker. You're going to be looked as the spoiler. You're going to be looked upon as the one that needs to go. That's all right. That's quite all right. Because when you live that way, that high frequency is stronger than anything else around you. That's why they can't stand you to be there. And their hate is filled with so much venom. And that venom only consumes them. And it's real, you know, Malcolm, his commitment is so important today because it really is one of the true measures of a person that we should all seek to surpass and seek to uphold. Because just imagine if that spirit of Malcolm was president, if that spirit of Malcolm was the chancellor, if that spirit of Malcolm was that administrator, that dean, just imagine. If Malcolm's spirit and his commitment and his moral convictions were spread to fertilize and to feed yours, how much further would we all be? How many wars would we have not known? How much disenfranchisement and destitute would have been quelled? How much peace and love would we have? But instead, we have a state of continuous confusion because we keep doing the exact same thing. And we keep upholding the same consciousness that created the problem. Brother Malcolm refused to allow that consciousness to spoil his goals and his objectives. His meaning and his legacy. For so many of us, because we think it's comfortable, profitable, and the right thing to do. And it's the easy, so many of us just want to get along. That's what the system breeds. That's what the system breeds. And because those individuals, like Malcolm, like Martin, like Mega Evett, like Fred. See, the huge difference between the Black Panther Party and other so-called organizations was that they were the Black Panther Party. That they weren't created by the government with an acronym. They actually moved into the people and do the smallest things at the youngest ages. They weren't looking to do anything other than to uplift the people from the very start and the very beginning. See, these other organizations, they don't start with the children. They go for the wallet and the purse strings of the adults. Because if they realize that they can get them as their puppets, their overall mandates will continue to bind and psychologically enslave. Because they know that parent is going to go home and teach that child. And they're going to teach them to obey. You can always tell where the sincere movement is. It always comes from a position with no funding. A position with no people really supporting it. But it doesn't deter from where they're going. And they start small and just continue to go. But all of a sudden, you start to hear of these pop-up groups, and all of a sudden, you're like, where did they come from? And who are they? Oh, I need to catch up to find out who this person is. And all of a sudden, they're already lights, cameras, in action. Those are the organizations that the system has put into place. Oh, like Black Lives Matter. Oh, like Barack Obama. You didn't even know who Barack Obama was before he just popped up the hell out of nowhere. Oh, they say he was in Chicago and all these other things. Yeah, this may have been true. But you hadn't been watching him for years until he wrote a book. What? Wrote a book? And then now all of a sudden this dude does one speech at the DNC and all of the black community is behind this? Come on. You've been set up. We need to start asking real questions. Not for answers. We need to start to ask questions for clear direction for ourselves. All of this has been put on by the great puppet master in order to maintain control. And all of these people that you see are nothing more than celebrity figureheads, and they're all expendable. And the system will always do away with them when they don't need them anymore. So, I would say this weekend, stand up for truth. Because It's the only thing that you really have. As we make our way through this, as you and I are physically making our way through this journey together. But we must realize that we are not temporal to die. We are eternal to live. And it's not by the designs that they tell you. Some man tells you about heaven or hell. He has no clue. It's some stuff that they made up in order to control you. It's not by some mystery. It has no real meaning. That man that tells you those types of things can't even tie, it can't really even tie any form of the universe together itself to create this elaborate lie that they are talking about. No propaganda, and know the truth. If you ever want to see the truth, look where man's hands isn't. You ever want to see God? Look where man's hands isn't. The sun is there. The earth is here. The atmosphere is here. And the harmonic spirit that thrives in us, that you know that we may have forgotten because we've been using their vaccinations and their synthetic foods in our natural bodies, and is destroying our overall harmonic frequency, but it's still there. Re-engage it, and you'll be able to see the puppet masters and the puppets with their strings attached. They always look the same, and they always do the same thing. They say that they're for you, and they lead you in the same direction that has produced nothing in the past. Where has there been another Black Panther Party organization? There could be no other, because it was sincere in what it was supposed to do. But where has there been another organization that had the same sincerity that the Black Panther Party had? You haven't seen it, but it's there. But you haven't seen it because it doesn't do, and it doesn't fall in line with the mainstream media. That's why Black Talk Radio Network is so, so important. It's why you're so important. We have to first detox from all of the lies that we've been told, in order for us to see where the truth truly stands. Then it's time for us to uphold the truth in our lives. So, just wanted to bring that to you about Malcolm. There's much that's available for you to find out. And if you ever get a chance, there's one book I posted inside of Tando, The Judas Factor, The Plot to Kill Malcolm X. It speaks of the governmental entities, the intelligence agencies, and the clandestine plots, schemes, and organizations. This is good and important for you to know, because it's key for you to know your enemy so that you can identify, but it's more important for you to understand this so that you can know yourself and know that you've been poisoned one way or another, so that you can detox yourself from that. We all have that process to do. And the sooner we do it, and the more sincerely that we do it, the better position that we, you, and our community, and the world will be in. It is the way it is because we allow it to happen. We identify and we want what they cook. They offer us, you can have this, this, and this. And when you accept it, you accept the poisons that go along with it. It's not that they are dysfunctional, it's that we are. You can't take the spoils from the slave master, without being the slave master slave. At some point, you have to say that there's nothing that you can offer me. I would say, you know, one of the, for all of you moviegoers that like movies, which is, you know, it's cool, just be careful with it. For all you moviegoers, there's a scene in the movie that exemplifies this. And I'm not a big moviegoer, but I remember seeing this one part and it made, because it's funny, whenever I see movies, I tone everything out, even the movie, and I start to think about some of the other things I need to do. So I was watching this one movie one time, and the certain things come to me that I need to gravitate to, and I feel it. It was the Batman movie, and it was the one dude that died, that overdosed. He was playing the Joker, and he had all this cash all in one spot, and he lit it on fire. And he says that, in so many words, that doesn't tempt me. And one of the things that, you know, was keen about that is that the arrogance of the puppet masters is that they'll tell you things all the time, even what you can use against them. They'll tell you because they feel from their arrogance and from their strength and their false strength that there is no threat to them. This is why you'll have somebody say the things that you heard earlier today on this show, because they know that there's nothing that you could do to them. Where did you hear this before? Dr. Hawkins came on and the government told the people in Flint that there's nothing that they would be able to do against them. Because this is the arrogance before the fall. And what is the fall? The fall is an individual journey. And life is quick. This physical life is quick. And no one escapes. No one escapes. So in this movie, the Joker says he burns all the cash, and he's, in so many words, he says, I don't care about that. And that is the greatest threat to the system of man's economy. When you don't care about their false treasures, you care about what's sustainable. You care about life, not death. They perpetuate death. That's why they say live fast and die young. It's why they have this morbid worship of death. This is why they treasure the immediate pleasures of right now without building for eternity. Great part of that movie. And it's a big hint to you of what controls. And it's not the cash that controls, it's you playing the game that the system has established, thinking that you're going to win. You're not. You're not. So, if you have a question or comment about what we heard today, you heard Sister Betty Shabazz. And if you look at the Shabazz family, Betty's suspicious murder. Why would that would happen? Because Dr. Shabazz was, in my opinion, was coming into her own, and her children were older, and there were some things that she may have wanted to talk about that could have became very threatening. I remember she did an appearance at the Apollo, and the organization that was responsible for Malcolm's death was there, and all of their celebrity figureheads was there. And Sister Shabazz spoke about Malcolm while holding her tongue from what she really wanted to say, but she realized that her power was eternal. And she became a threat, in my opinion. Malcolm's grandson, any of the men of any family becomes a protector of the legacy. And because of the strength of those sisters within that family, I believe that he became a threat to them also. So they had to do away with his physical existence. Not because he, Malcolm or Betty, were a threat, is because you were a threat to start to see something different that they spoke about. One of the things that trainers do to domesticate animals, dog trainers will do this. They will have a trained dog assist in one that is not. And when we don't, when they find one person that will not go with the domestication of their agenda, it's not that that person is a threat, is that that person has to be silent because they know what's real. They know that life never ends. But they realize that if they don't physically silence that person, then other people are going to ask questions. And from their questions, the lies of the system cannot stand up to him. It wasn't that Malcolm was a threat. It was that you are. You always have been. Because each of us are creators. Because the great creator God Almighty gave us that capability. We can create life off of the energy that we give to a creation. And they only want you to create and manipulate the sustainability of their quality, ways and means. Your way of life is only supposed to be for their means of life. They don't want you to deviate from that. Because when you deviate from that, the whole system collapses. And I've seen it collapse and how vulnerable it is in its collapse. Because then people start to realize, hey, wait a minute. I don't have a boss. Very telling. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to touch on this retirement situation, this pension situation that is expanding. We've talked about it since we started our broadcasting on Black Talk Radio Network. It is now going into full explosion. It's going into a great expansion to where it's going to consume everyone. And they want to direct it that way because it's critical to get you on your knees. But having you on your knees is not enough. They want you on your belly. And they are going to institute just those things to do it. And how do they do it? It's because you're on their system and dependent upon their system. And that's where our weakness is, because we don't know who we are. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. I want to thank you all for listening to the show today. And if you have any questions or comments about anything that we talked about, we'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032-POUND, and just hit *61, and we'll definitely bring you up. If there's any comments that you would have about, you know, anything that you wanted to express about Malcolm's assassination, Malcolm, or what Malcolm was doing at the time and the relevance of him, definitely would love to hear from you, or anything that you would like to add to the show. You can call in at any time. The lines are always open for you. So with that being said, there was the other article that I posted inside of Tando Radio Show, and it was about the Teamsters' retirements fight massive pension cuts at Kansas City Town Hall. And this is something that you all need to know, because even if you don't have a pension, that's okay. Whatever it is that you do have, that's based in their system, they're going to collapse and take from you. And you can see the overall infrastructure and the overall events building up to just that. And you need to know what it is that is going on so that you can, while you still have time, to do something about it and to prepare. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about is that, you know, right now the window for you to actually protect yourself in order to recover, save, or reallocate your pension funds is the ability to protect yourself is coming to a close. And I firmly believe that it will be a Friday afternoon. They always do things on Friday. And I believe it's going to come by way of a cyber attack, either by a cyber attack, either by an act of war or a so-called hacking incident, where they'll take down the banking and the investment institutions. And when they take those investment institutions down, your pension funds will be lost. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to freeze your ability to get those funds. And they're going to do it in multiple ways. One, they're going to have a market. They're going to have the market closed for trading. They tested and retested and retested those, that capability, to ensure that nobody could get in and backdoor and get their access to their different funds or trade their position out already. Then they're going to have bank holidays. It's all going to be together. And when you hear about these things starting to perpetuate, and they could perpetuate even through war, they could say that the act of war has cut off. There was a naval, a Russian plane shot down a NATO plane. And then from there, a Chinese ship sunk a Taiwanese or a Japanese or an American destroyer. And a destroyer, and then all of a sudden, the financial markets were hit. And they started, there has been a salvo of electrical hacking bombs that have been used by the NATO nations versus the BRIC nations and the BRIC nations versus the NATO nations. Either way, however they want to write the script, the main thing is that you're going to be out and you won't be able to get access to what you worked so hard for, and you just knew that you were going to get because you had blind faith in the authorities when everything was telling you that there have been nothing but thieves from the beginning, and what makes you think that they would be honorable persons today? I would lead you all to the Bible itself. When Jesus went into the temple and found the money changers in the temple, and what did Jesus say? That you turned my father's house into what? A den of thieves. The key to that they changed the money. They were money changers. And that was the only time that you saw an act of violence. Where Jesus picked up, the story goes, Jesus picked up a cat and nine tails or a whip and start whipping them. Why? Because their scales were uneven. They were unevenly yoked and imbalanced. They were thieves. They were stealing the people's prosperity in their labor. And they're going to continue to do that because we continue to trust and want what they offer us. They give you an elaborate saying that you work all of these years, 25, 35, 40 years, and then after that, when you can't work anymore, you don't worry about it. It'll be your golden years and you will retire. But see, the truth of the matter is that once you reach those ages, you are no longer viable to their overall ways and means. So what are they going to do? Especially now, because the population that you have known as the baby boomers is larger. So when it's time for you to collect, what are they going to do? They're going to flip the switch, because everything that you put into the system has already been stolen. If a man can't pay you for the services that he was going to, if a man can't give you the service that you paid for immediately, then there's no need for you to engage in a long-term mortgage, which is nothing more than a term of debt. There's no need. If a man can't pay you, if a man can't offer you what you paid him for immediately, and there is a exchange that's immediate, they benefit, you benefit, then there's no reason for you to engage in any business with them, because then you're going to have to trust that they will have your best interest at hand. And let's really look at this. You think about when you work over 25, 35, 40 years, you pay them every 2 weeks, every month, or quarterly into your overall retirement plan, savings plan, investment plan. You have to pay them over a long period of time for them to say, when you get at this ripe age where you can't work anymore, I promise I'll give you back even more what you gave me. That is nothing then, ladies and gentlemen, a scam if I ever heard one. But we never looked at it that way, because our job offered it. We never looked at it that way because everybody else, they have commercials. Surely they're reliable. They're on TV. I saw their commercial. Surely they know what they're doing because they're white. Surely they work for an organization. They work for such and such insurance company, the same insurance company that gained from historical slavery. Same organizations that implemented and gained from slavery. Oh, not just of the 1700s and 1800s, but of today. Sweatshops and everything else. And you think that they can enslave somebody across the waters and don't think they're going to come for your butt? You think that they have an alliance to you? How misguided are we? Because everybody wants a slave. Nobody wants to be one. And that's what this system teaches you to do. It teaches you that it's okay if they enslave here as long as I get mine. Well, guess what? You're going to get yours. And for those of you that listen to Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network, you know that that is unacceptable to you. But there are things that you have to do now in order to protect yourself. If I was you, because this system of the overall pension plan, they don't make it easy for you to get your cash from them or your funds from them, but they make it easy for you to deposit. They don't make it easy for you to withdraw. You don't even know that that's capital controls at the right there in your face, because if they if it was a real exchange, you wouldn't have a problem taking what's yours at any time that you need it. But see, they tell you, we save this for your retirement so you'll have something, knowing that you're not going to have jack because they're going to crash the market, and principle is subject to market loss, meaning plausible deniability. They just stole and jacked you. They didn't do it. They deceived you because you gave it to them. One of the first things you need to do is stop paying into that. One of the first steps that you need to take. Next, you need to do whatever it is that you can to get it out and put it somewhere else. Listen, in my opinion, having 10, 20, 30% is better than having 0%. I don't know, but that's one of the ways that I learned to count, is that some is better than none. And you need to make your moves now. Because the window for you to, you can't just go there and say, give me my funds, give me my money. No. They're going to say, oh, you need this, 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 and it's going to take this, 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 this many weeks as this progression of the economic collapse comes. They're not even going to process stuff. If you even try to get your stuff out now, you better check in with them, because guess what? They won't even process your paperwork. And they'll just say, oh, we didn't do it. And what are you going to do? You have no legal recourse because you're vulnerable to the system that deceives you. We got a caller that's in queue. Let's go to him real quickly. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mel.
What's up, brother Mel? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm good.
I'm hearing the passion in your voice, man, and you real serious, and but, hey, you should be. But when you were describing the capital controls, and you said that how easily they let you deposit it, but you got to jump through some hoops to get it.
Yep.
Get it back. I mean, they will limit how much you can take out at a certain time. And,
yep.
I remember Brother Thomas went through a situation where, you know, they messed up his check and he had to go through so much trials and tribulations just to get it corrected. And I mean, yo, you spot on tonight, man. Very good. Great, great show, man. I'm proud of you. Thank you for what you're doing, man.
Well, Mel, man, we do this together and I sincerely thank you. And yeah, and that's exactly what it is, and there's steps, you know, as you know, Mel, there's steps that we have to take in order to protect ourselves, because there are things that we can do. There are definite things that we can do, and we really need to engage in those steps, because I'm going to tell you, everyone that's listening to Tando Radio Show, do me a favor. Look at the lines that the people were in Cyprus. Look at the lines that the people were in Greece. Look at the lines that the people were in Italy and in Spain and in Argentina and Venezuela, and find a person that is about your size, about your complexion, if you can, and substitute them for you. If you do nothing, you will be just like them, because they were the ones that didn't do anything in time. And they went running and screaming and crying, trying to do something when it was too late. You can only find yourself there. Go ahead, Mike.
I got two more little quick points. I remember the when we were talking about Martin Luther King and his sniper spotter, the guy straight up said it. He was like, yeah, so I stepped back so, you know, they could get a clear shot. I mean, in a later interview, the guy straight up said it. And I wanted to get your take on the passport thing now. So now they're telling me that my state-issued ID is it's not federally recognized, so now I have to have a passport in order to travel domestically. And I think that's setting a stage. That's like moving us into a next phase. What's your opinion on that real quick?
Man, huge. Brother Davis talks about that all the time, getting as many, because that is a form of capital controls, because one of the things that they're going to do is to be able to restrict your overall movement, because if you're in a place that is not being, that doesn't have resources, they don't want you to leave there. They want you to be subject to their control. How do you get people to be subject to their control, to your control? You put them in desperate situations and they'll follow you. You break the will of your enemy and you break the will of that, of those that you want to enslave, and they will come graveling and crawling. And they'll put the leash on themselves and hand you the other side of the leash and say, just lead. I will go. This is what has to stop. Hey, brother, man, we got to hold on. Wait. Did you have any other questions or comments?
No, sir. Thank you. Good show, man. Take care.
Much love. Now, we'll talk soon. We got another caller that's in queue. Let's go to him. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Dave, Brother Davis, man.
Brother Davis. Good to hear your voice, brother.
It's always good to hear a friend, brother. Look, the show is an excellent contribution to Malcolm X. Let's not forget that one of the main reasons why they went after him was not only because of the type of person he was to the Nation of Islam, but there was an alliance about to be formed between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that alliance was based on what they had in common, and what they had in common was the economic empowerment of his people. So when in these times, when you think things are getting kind of rough, just remember, there's a lot of great minds came up with the conclusion that you're at right now. So dig in, buckle down, and we can get through this. Hey, brother, great show. I'm listening. I just want to give you a little shout real quick. Peace and my best to the family, to the wife.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And same to you and the family, and Sister Davis and Brother Davis is absolutely right. There was the alliance that was engaging, and it was a global alliance, as Brother Davis was saying, because Malcolm had made his Hajj and had made connections through many of people that were willing to assist in the overall direction and collective prudence that he and many others were engaged in. And yes, Dr. King was a part of that, because if you listen to Dr. King, his last years, and one of my favorite speeches was why I can't support the war he did at Riverside Baptist Church in New York City, tells you everything. The same thing that Kennedy did with his President in the Press speech. The same thing that Malcolm had done so many a times, especially when he came back from his trip. And then when he talked about the reason why he left the organization that he was a part of before, the Nation. So telling, because those are the things that really matter. Because if you, as Secretary of State Alexander Haig said, protest all you want, march all you want, but you better pay your taxes. And they weren't just talking about paying your taxes of cash. See, that's the deception that they want you to think. The real tax that you had on is the tax of you surrendering your free will to them and living by their every developments and their every means. And they're telling you when to eat, sleep, and to go and to sit on their commands. That's you being taxed. And this is what we need to understand and walk away from. And one of the things that you could do, you need to get out of this system as much as you possibly can and engage the system to where it benefits you and it doesn't benefit them. You can actually use their overall system against them if you know how to do it. You have to establish your alliances with people now. You have to develop your support group now. You have to have your support group to have means and capabilities to be able to decide and get through the economic collapse, the war, and the supply shortages that are going to be here. Because when you do that, you will be able to focus on the opportunities and reinvent your neighborhood and reestablish your family history and reestablish our community. This is what our membership, a $25 a month membership, get the precious metals training, the overall preparedness training and the extension of so many things. And we're going to be able to leverage our pool of talent together in order to position ourselves accordingly. So important. And if you want to engage in that, and also we're going to be doing the Forex. And this is so important because this will bring in revenue. And this is the easy thing about the Forex market with the system that the proprietary system that iMarketsLiveInternational.com has is that you are able to use a harmonic system and take cash out immediately. Your winnings out immediately. But yes, you're going to have to fund your account to actually trade. It's very easy. Everybody can do this that is of age that can comprehend the things. And everything that you need to learn will be there and you will be taught it. And while you're learning it, you will actually be able to trade and get a part of every, because what happens with the Forex, where every major contract that Boeing does, every major contract that Brazil sends clothes and shoes somewhere, for every drop of oil that's shipped anywhere in the world, when Iran sends oil to France and they have to pay Iran in euros, you get a part of that because you're a part of that overall exchange in that currency. This is what you use currency for. You never save in it. You use it to acquire more other things that you need. And these are the things that you'll be able to learn, regardless of what you've done before. And the thing that I really want to express is that this would be an opportunity for you to actually establish your own institutions. You could be your own boss, or you could fire your boss, or you could stay where you are and just supplement your income. And there's various ways that you could do it. You can also, not only by trading is the main way, but the people that you, because of what you're doing, you could bring other people in, and that will actually subsidize you from them being in. I don't like multi-level marketing, because then your multi-level marketing, you go out and you say, hey, get in here, that's a pyramid. Get in, and only the people at the top get it. Well, in this one, it's different because you're trading, and then the people that come in actually benefits you also. And when you're trading and you're doing well in trading, you don't care if people come in or don't, because if they get in on the trade or if they're not in on the trade, it's still going to benefit you if you're selling or if you're buying. Because the selling and the buying is still going to happen. The key is, are you going to be able to have that influx of that exchange for you to be the benefit of, for you to partake in? And then when you partake in it, we are going to be disciplined. Never over-leverage ourselves, and take from that and use that for our overall preparedness. Use that for the things that your family needs to do what it needs to do, because everyone needs additional streams of income for what's coming. It's the perfect situation. Well, I won't say the perfect situation. It's a great situation. But what is perfect about it is this, the collective prudence side of it all. That's perfect. And then there are other things that we're going to bring to you that you will benefit you, your family, and we hope that you would take that and decide to do what Malcolm, Martin, and all of us have decided to do, establish a collective prudence so that we can have ourselves. Yes, we see the system, but we are absent of its control. We dictate. Because we know who we are and we know what the enemy does. I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the class, we are having a class tonight, 1 hour after Tando. So 1 hour from now, 1 hour and 5 minutes from now, if you'd like to get in on the membership, it's $25 a month. If it doesn't work for you, then you can just, it's easy to cancel it. How you cancel it is you just don't pay. You don't pay your membership and then you won't be in the next class. That's fine because it didn't work for you. If that's what, the way business should be done, if it's not producing for you, you should walk away from it. So if you're interested in getting in on the membership that includes the precious metals training, you can email me at Wolf, W-O-L-F number 6, P-A-C-K 1 at gmail.com. You're in control of everything. You can send the payment or you don't have to send the payment. There's no credit card you put on file. There's no contract that I have with you. I don't believe in any of that stuff. There's no debt that you have because debt is nothing more than a tool of enslavement. I don't do that. So you can also text me, 951-790-8330. And I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. And it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Much love and much respect. Before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. We'll talk to you soon. Peace and love.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain.